Who knows more about Munster rugby, me or you, Quinny?
Everyone has an opinion, don't they? Some of the opinions are waffle, but I'd like to think I know a lot.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
To celebrate the sponsorship of Ireland's fittest family and to reward local communities across Ireland, Londis has launched a competition for lucky school or club to win a coach training session with hurling legend and show coach Davy Fitzgerald. Londis will sponsor the hit TV show for a third year in a row, which returns to our screens on Sunday the 31st of October for a ninth season. That's this Halloween, and I'm delighted to say Davy Fitzgerald is with us this morning. Davy, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, all good. Yeah.
So nine years of Ireland's fittest family. That's some ride.
Yeah, like I can remember when we were going to, we were talking to the production company at the start, and they said if we got 1 or 2 years, we'd be doing well. But you know what? It's gone from strength to strength, and it's great.
Where did the idea come from?
Came over a cup of coffee one morning, myself and a friend of mine, James Sexton. Well, we got talking about a thing called Superstars before. I can remember all the GA legends were in it there years and years ago, and we started developing an idea around family, like, wouldn't it be great if you could do something with your family? And it all started from there, a meeting there, and then we got to RTE in Dublin, and then we got into a production company, and off it went.
And there's been various talks around the past about it maybe being internationalised. Is that still on the cards, do you think?
Yeah, it's hit a few different countries. I think it's hit probably 6 or 7 or 8 countries at this stage. So it has. It's been great. The fact that we have an Irish product that has been used in different countries has been great, you know. We haven't got into the UK or America yet, but we're still trying.
Is Davy Fitz, the Irish fittest family coach, a more scary prospect than Davy Fitz, the Intercounty Hurling sideline manager?
No, I think it's pretty similar.
Right.
What you'll probably always see is that 2 or 3 minutes of the lad roaring and shouting, and probably even in Fitz's family, there's 12 or 13 hours in a day, you know. So, as you well know, in the media, you're going to use the best shots you can or use the best sound bites you can. So, that's what's going to be used. But at times, that has to be done. Other times, it's just talk and try and chat stuff out and get the best of your family you possibly can.
Has this made you a better manager, your involvement with this?
It's made me think about things a small bit different, all right. Although I think as time goes on, you always adapt and you always change anyway. Like the way probably I managed in 2008, 2009 and 2010, it changed a bit to 2013, 2014, 2015, and it's changed again in the last year or two. Like I think you're always trying to learn and develop different ways, and definitely my coaching style would have and my management style would have changed a lot over the last number of years.
How?
I would think the way now I've probably figured out, you have to get the best, you have to make sure you get the best out of the person, figure out the person. Like before, maybe I would have concentrated on the whole, train them a certain way, working them a certain way. Now it's to understand the person and to try and see their strengths and weaknesses and try and work on them.
So it's a more individualised approach as opposed to just saying, I'm going to make sure that this group feels the same way, it goes through the same suffering and pain or whatever, or they all have the same tactical awareness. Now it's like, okay, you're going to have a particular function for me in a much larger whole.
Like everybody is different in how to take on information. You've got to understand that. Then every player has to be different, has to have different weaknesses and maybe how to play or how to do stuff. Like someone might be unbelievable speed, might need a bit of stuff on their technical hurling, might be weak on one facet, so that got to understand it. Another guy might be just bad at taking on information, can't see what we're talking about. How do we get him to understand? You just have a lot of different stuff to figure out to put the jigsaw together.
That's obviously time consuming as a manager, particularly in a scenario where your contact hours with the players is actually quite limited.
Yeah, it is limited. It's limited to when you see them at training. Like with Wexford, for example, I'd be there at 5 o'clock. We might train at 7 and I wouldn't leave for an hour afterwards. You could be talking to different people, or on the way down the car, you could be ringing 2 or 3 just to chat and get over stuff. So it's a lot longer day than you would think, you know. And I suppose it's the same in Fitz's family. You're trying to understand the 4 people on the show and get the best out of them. It's the same thing.
When you're having those conversations on the way home with a player, two or three players you mentioned there, what are you talking about? Is there a general theme that tends to pop up?
No, it just depends what I spot or what I see. Like it as I've mentioned, it could be anything. It could be a simple chat, like maybe I'm getting one or two signals that they're not in great form or stuff like that, you know, and just having a chat, or maybe to something I see in their game and I want to talk to them about it. There's various different things, you know, and sometimes I've often just rang a lad on the way home and have a chat with him, you know, for no particular reason.
How do you look back on your time at Wexford now? What's the bit that keeps you awake at night sometimes, or what's the bit that makes you think, ah, balls, if just we'd done that, things would have been different?
I could go into so many things where I'd look back, guys, and I'd say, if I only did that different, you know, like that isn't just a once off thing, you know. That has happened a few times, you know.
At Wexford in particular?
No, guys, I'd say with any team, it's happened at different times. Like, I can remember Wexford this year against Clare. I don't know if you remember, the day was extremely hot, very hot. And I cut the warm-up by about 10 or 11 minutes. And if you look at our performance in the first 10 or 15 minutes, we struggled to get our breath. Like, you could see we weren't at the pitch of the game. And, like, I thought I was doing the right thing, just cutting the warm-up down because it was too hot. But I didn't get to find that out afterwards, that maybe I should have broke the wind a bit more so that they would have been able to go, you know. But there's been different. I'm sure every manager is the same, that they'll come across things that they say, I wish I did that, or I changed that, you know.
And is the tip game in the All-Ireland semi-final, is that something then that still kind of is one of those sliding door moments for your relationship and that Wexford team's future?
I was very proud of him that day. The only thing I had changed different that day, from when I got a chance, like, if you look at it, when the man got sent off for tip, we had 7 defenders at the back and we had 5-on-6 up front, right? So what we did was, I said, I'll push one of the extra guys up on their spare man, which kind of made sense, right? But all I did was, like, put 6-on-6 back there. What I probably would have done if I got a second chance was put that extra man to midfield and made Tipperary bring out a man, you know? So it would have been 5-on-5 back there. But it's easy in hindsight, like where we got to win Leinster that year, Wexford, coming from where we come from, was incredible. So I was happy. Had we an opportunity, we had an opportunity. But it's easy to look back and say that. If we went shorter with the cutouts, which we tried to do, maybe the lads just needed to show a bit more. They didn't show. Like, you can look at various things in any match you do. Like, I picked the Leinster semi-final this year against Kilkenny. Like, we were right there, just needed a break and didn't get one.
How great was the temptation to go on again next year with Wexford?
Oh, man, Jesus, it was very hard to leave Wexford. Very hard. There's very few managers' jobs you get, I'd say, to be where you probably get on so well with the players, but you have a great relationship with the fan base as well. Like, it doesn't happen that much in GA where you have that after 4 or 5 years. That's being honest with you. It was, but lads, there's only so much you can keep doing. And I've always said there's been one or two things in my private life that I have to take probably a look into a bit more and things like that. So, you know, the decision was made and that's the way it was. But I'll never regret my time there, ever.
You were obviously publicly at this stage very close to getting the Galway job. What was the attraction of that job?
Yeah, as I said before, we had a chat, and naturally, I think they've unbelievable players. They just haven't been at pitch of it for the last 2 or 3 years, but I still think they've unbelievable players and they've a lot of talent coming around. So, naturally, why wouldn't you have a chat?
So it's not that you're done with inter-county management. It's the travel to Wexford seems to have been part of the issue there, whereas actually travel to Galway is a bit easier for a Clare man.
Well, it would have been a small bit easier. We had the chat and that, yeah. But you know what? What's meant for you is meant for you, and I'm actually happy enough now I have that breather, and it's just said to me, I'm going to actually just make sure now I'm going to take that time. I don't see myself doing very much next year on the GAA front, so I'm just going to take that bit of time.
This will be your first break in a long time.
I was going over it the other night, lads. Would you believe I came on the county senior hurling panel in 1989? I think it was October, November 89. And I'd say I've nearly been involved in county every single year up to probably 2022 will probably be my first year where I won't be involved in inter-county action at some way or another.
Because I was having a similar enough chat with Kieran McGeaney during the summer, and he would have come on stream at intercounty level around the same time as you and has been involved with intercounty ever since. What is it about yourself and people like Kieran McGeaney that keeps driving you and keeps you going without that break? Because I presume everybody else kind of needs to step away at some point sooner than you guys have done.
You know what, guys, I think back on it, and when I was a young fella, maybe 6, 7 or 8, and the way I felt about watching my club, Sixma Bridge, about watching Clare playing and going to all the games, and I so wanted to be part of it, that bug has never left me. And it meant so much to me back when I was so young. Like, I really, really wanted to be part of it. And when I got in there then, Jesus, I just absolutely loved it. And I've been there since, you know, and I've been a very lucky boy to have played with some great players and managed some great players, and it's been a hell of a spin, I can tell you. And it's just that probably that love of what I actually do, and from a very young age I had that.
Is a little part of you a little bit scared about what's not scared but concerned about what's coming next when that is no longer part of your life, when you're not talking to young lads about whatever's going on in their lives, when you're not talking to coaches specifically about what the game plan is for the opposition, when you're not obsessively watching the video of what's coming next?
Yeah, you know what, that has entered my head well before this year, and to be honest with you, like, I'm a person that needs to be kept on the go the whole time. So I've half prepared a few different bits and pieces in my life outside of GAA that will keep me busy. I knew this moment will come at some stage, and we'll see how I'll adapt it. Like, it's something that, yeah, it's going to be different, and I'm going to have, there's new challenges and new things that I'm going to do, but I'm looking forward to, a bit nervous about how much I'll miss the GAA. I'll be able to tell you that in a few months, guys. I'm only out of it. I'm out with my club there about a week ago, so this is the first week off. Normally I'd be straight back into intercounty, just going mad, looking at stuff straight away, but we'll see how the next few months, I should be able to answer that question a bit better for you.
I suppose it can go a million different ways. There's a load of different range of outcomes possible here, but it could be that you actually really enjoy this life outside with the decompression, civilian life as we refer to it, or it could be that you feel that you really need to get back into inter-county management. So this isn't an end for you, definitely.
Lads, you don't know what's going to happen. Like, I try and embrace every day the best I can. Am I a perfect person? I'm not. I make mistakes like everybody else, but I'm going to enjoy today as much as possible. I'm going to take on whatever comes my way. Can I tell you I'll be back in the GAA world? Like, I'd be very surprised if I wasn't helping in somewhere or another or doing something if I wasn't doing that. But there is other things as well that I know that I'm going to try and do and see how I get on. So I don't know. It is maybe a small bit scary, but we'll see what's out there and what the story is. But you're right. As regards, you know what, just it'd be great just to be walking down the street or whatever and have no pressures of, well, is it pressure? That's the question. I don't think so, but have no responsibility of doing a county team or playing, you know.
Because I guess the way the GAA has gone over the last little while, there are so many other ways to get that drug other than being an inter-county manager, which is unbelievably time consuming. I'm sure maybe other gigs have maybe entered your mind prospectively when you think about the near future.
Yeah, there is other things that have crossed my mind and I'm looking at, and I've talked to different people. There is other business interests I'm looking at. Like, I have a few things that I need to pay more attention to, so I have to take care of them. And there's one or two things in my private life that I'm really excited about going happening fairly soon.
And when the text comes from Off the Ball to do a bit of punditry next year, is it a yes or a no?
Never say never, guys. Do you know what I love? Like the amount of games I've gone to in Cusick Park, and I sit down behind the goals. Now, I absolutely got nailed for doing an umpire there recently. They were giving out to me for doing an umpire, right? And the funny thing was, my best mate was reffing a game, and I got to do umpire, and I said, yeah, I'd love to. I've often helped out, and they were saying, he shouldn't be doing umpire. He's going there to squash what they're doing. And it's funny, if I wasn't an umpire, I'd be sitting 10 yards behind the goals because I have a lovely spot in Ennis where I go and watch the games, and I'd be in the exact same position. And I enjoy that. I love going to watch the games and just seeing what's happening or what's new, or can I see any bit of tactical stuff that anyone is doing. I love that. So you never know, guys. You never know what we could end up doing.
We've got a brilliant football pod with Paddy Andrews talking about what life was like inside the Dublin setup alongside Andy Moran every week. And Paddy talks about when you're in the bubble, you'll do absolutely anything. That there's a madness, and he kind of describes it really well, and I'm butchering it a little bit, but essentially that when you are in the midst of trying to win All-Irelands, they would have said that Mayo were coming there to steal their All-Ireland and take their medals away from them, and they would do whatever it took to be successful. And it definitely seems like that's part of every inter-county setup at the elite level, is that there's a little bit of hatred for your opponents, there's like a self-regard, and absolutely everything is secondary. But when you step out of it, he said when he stepped out of it, it kind of all fell away, and it was like, oh geez, Andy Moore is actually quite a nice fella, and here I have been fostering this hate the whole time. Now that you're stepping away, are you decompressing from a bit of the madness that kind of followed in the various jobs that you've had, and particularly in your own county as well?
You know, you've hit the nail on the head there. Like, and what he said to you is the exact truth. When you are in that environment, you have to have that bit of killer in you. You have to have that bit of hate. But, like, I actually will be a lot better the last few years as regards when it's over for me. Like, 9/10 of the time, I wouldn't carry grudges. Now, the only thing is, when you're in that spotlight, there might be other people that might be able to let go of grudges. That's the only other thing. I can't do anything about that. But in general, I'd like to think, like, I enjoy going playing the cards on a Monday night or a Thursday night with my friends. I enjoy going playing the games of golf and just being out there and forgetting about the GAA at different times. You know, it's so different when you're in it and you're really invested in it and you're training and you're thinking about it. Yeah, that killer instinct, whatever you got to do, you got to do. And then when you can let yourself go and forget about it, it's completely the opposite. And you know what? I'd say, like, if I could not harbor grudges, I try it. But there is, I suppose, people out there who won't let that happen. They'll try and keep you in that set, no matter what the story is. They might have a go at you, and it's just very hard to get out of it.
Do you think you'll find peace in Clare with everything that's happened over the last couple of years?
I just think there's a very small bunch in Clare that have an issue. Like, if you look at it, when we came back in 2011, we were pretty successful for them few years. It had been 20 years before Clare had won much, and I think we won two promotions, two Munster leagues, National League and All-Ireland. I don't think that was too bad, guys. You know, so maybe there's a word you can find out there to figure out why people will be tick or will be cross, you know. I have one in my head, but I'll keep it to myself. There's a lot of people in Clare that are really good, really good. They're not buying into the rubbish that's on the internet or the lies. They don't buy into it. And they're the people I'm interested in talking about. We can't do anything about anyone else, guys. Just that's the way it is.
I guess it doesn't sound like there's a piece there that whatever is the issue will always be an issue?
When a certain few people get stuff into their heads and they want to let go, like, I can't do anything about that. Would I prefer it wasn't there? Yeah. I'm very proud of my time as a player and as a manager. I'm very proud of our family's involvement over the last number of years in Clare. I think it's been pretty fruitful. And, you know, I look back at that with a sense of pride. But the amount of people I meet in Clare who just say to me, very small minority, Davey, just forget about it. And I'd meet a lot of people that would say that to me.
So they're the people you're going to spend your time with, I suppose.
You know what? I'm happy to talk to anyone, guys. You know, if someone wants to chat and they're nice, why not have the chat? It won't hurt, you know.
It's not a sadness in your life then that the situation has developed the way it has, is it?
Yeah, like when it's your, like, I've just explained to you, like, why should that be there? Can you explain to me? Like, I don't think I did any wrong when I was there. Only bring a bit of success. So I don't understand it. But what can I do? I can't dwell on it either. Like, I'll be honest with you, I read very little. My friends might say to me, did you see this on the internet or that? I said, no. Did you hear your man off the ball saying X, Y, and Z? And I said, no, don't want to hear it. I try and ignore it as much as I possibly can.
Does part of you dream of winning an All-Ireland with Clare again?
Choose one you love. Like I'm a Clare man. I love my county. And as I told you, like, the vast majority of Clare people are unreal. So they are. We have a few people that have ideas. Like, they used to give out to us about the way we play, about playing sharp ball and X, Y, and Z. Now, most of the teams are playing a lot of sharp ball, including Clare. And Clare are very effective when they do play it. And it's funny, we were trying to say that come 6 or 7 or 8 years ago. I told you as a young fella, I dreamed about playing for my club, Six Mile Bridge, and playing for Clare. And, you know, I still have that little bit inside of me, no matter what the story is. I'm a Clare man and I love them. And listen, I'm sure I'll be doing stuff with my club. And I'm sure you never know down the line what might happen. I don't know, but can't take away what has been done, and I'm very proud.
One last thing. The challenge that Limerick have at the moment is the quality of hurler they have on top of the physicality they have. It's a new package even from the great Kilkenny team. Can that be stopped, or do they just need to blow themselves out? Like, can somebody come along and beat that now when they're at their peak, or do we just have to wait for them to win another couple of All-Irelands and get a bit bored of it?
Well, you look at when you talk about Kilkenny, right? Remember, we were talking there at one patch. How is this ever going to end? Is Kilkenny are going to dominate for so long and X, Y, and Z, and their team was incredible. They were. I think every team's cycle will come to an end. I believe that. Limerick are in the middle of theirs at the moment, and I have to say they're phenomenal, and their game plan, the way they've worked it, but someone will come up with something that'll change things around, you know. Like how Kilkenny played was a certain way and it was good, and then we changed a few different teams, had it change things a small bit, and it'll be the same. Limerick are exceptional at what they do, and someone will probably come up with something to go against that over the next few years. But you have to admire them, guys. They're absolutely phenomenal. And I have to say, even the way they conduct themselves, I love it, is good. Because that says a lot for a team off the field, the way you are as well. And they are killers when they're on the field, trust me.
Well, Debbie, we wish you the very best with your retirement, if that's the right term for it for now, however long it may last, and continue success
in
the TV show.
We'll say the break anyhow
the
for
break.
The moment.
Fair enough, that's more accurate. Yeah.
We'll see what the story is.
Good stuff, Davey. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Thanks very much. Take care of yourselves, all right?
It's Davey Fitzgerald there talking to us as Londis are celebrating their sponsorship of Fittest Family, looking to reward local communities across Ireland, and a competition to win a coach training session with Davey Fitz. Check out londis.ie for more details on that.